You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Did you see the video on Sunday of Vita Vea taking a helmet to the mouth when his face mask was up and losing a tooth?
So you know how everything now kind of makes you cry because you have kids?
Yes.
I don't know when this happened for me. I used to be able to watch videos with an injury in it and be squeamish as the next guy, but just kind of be like, oh, okay, and move on with my day. I now can't watch injuries. If I think I sniff out an injury in real time in a sport, I cringe and make all these motions with my hands, and I say, oh, no, and I gasp, and then I look away.
You don't watch the replay.
I can't.
So you haven't
do it
seen
anymore.
The video of the tooth flying out?
No, I can't do it.
Wow.
I don't know when that happened, but it definitely happened to me.
Your boy Bruce Arians was asked about it after the game, and he said, I don't care. He's got 30 other of them. Thought that was a funny football coach line.
That's very football coach.
Nice of you, Bruce.
Get some bull in the ring going. Sure, Oklahoma drill.
Meant a lot to Vita Vea. And it's time for your Beltway Blitz. The Wizards are in action tonight. We'll talk to Ava Wallace. The Capitals collapsed in the third period last night. We need answers. J.J. Reagan of NBC Sports Washington will hopefully provide them. Let's kick off the Blitz right now. Britt Giroli of The Athletic, national writer, covers the Nats as well. Before I get to the Nats, Britt, we're closing in on a deadline here. We're about 8 hours away from midnight. And it seems like we're going to have a work stoppage, a lockout. Is that a lock at this point, or do we know what exactly is going on?
Yeah, it's a lock. I mean, you guys need any days off down there at the radio station? I'm about to have a lot of time on my hands.
I, you know what? I think I might take a day or two, so let's figure that out. Let's get together on that.
But, yeah, I mean, listen, this was always kind of going to head toward that scenario. The owners don't want the players to strike, so they're going to preemptively lock them out. Right now, the players that I've talked to are kind of hoping for the best, bracing for the worst. Max Scherzer earlier today said there's a war chest of funds in case this leaks into the season. So, you know, a lot can change, but certainly if you're a betting man or woman, you can put your money on the fact that baseball, as of midnight tonight, will officially be in a lockout.
Which is so much fun. Everyone loves those kinds of work stoppages and delays. It's the best.
Will there be a winter meetings then?
No, and you're right. Who doesn't love millionaires fighting with billionaires? It's a story that warms the heart.
Just making sure, just to flip a couple birds toward the fans.
Because the meetings were supposed to be this week, right?
The meetings usually are, yeah, like right around now, depending on where it falls in December. Sometimes it's the second week of December, sometimes it's the first, but obviously there will be no winter meetings. Clubs have been told to not speak to the media, and this goes from like the Mike Rizzo's all the way down to like the lowest tier employee. Major League Baseball really wants to kind of control the message. You won't see a whole lot of, I guess, talking in that regard. Players, are, of course, are free to speak. Certain outlets, you know, team-owned, league-owned outlets are going to really be hampered by what they can and cannot report. So it's going to be a really interesting, hopefully very short few weeks, I want to say, but I have a feeling it's going to be more like months.
Are they going to have a universal DH and any other kind of changes that may come out of this thing if and when they do actually have conversations about baseball?
Yeah, I think that's the simple one. Like what they're really fighting about right now, which would surprise nobody, of course, is money. And the players want players like Juan Soto, who are in their prime, to get paid now and not have to wait for free agency. Now you can look at all the money being spent now and say, well, you know, guys are getting, you know, over $1 billion in free agency in November. And that's true, but the median, the average salary has not actually gone up in time. It's kind of flatlined since 17. So guys who aren't in that top 1-2% just aren't making very much money. We've seen that middle class and veterans kind of get squeezed out for a while now. And listen, we all know that Juan Soto and guys like him, Fernando Tatis, you know, Ronald Acuna Jr., are underpaid. So that's a big thing. And then also Scherzer said today they want teams to compete. You know, things like what's going on in Baltimore just shouldn't be legal, shouldn't be happening. And it's really a function of the rules. They want those rules to change. And the players, after getting absolutely wiped the floor with in 16, like they did not negotiate for really anything, realized that almost right away. And they've been gearing up for years for this fight.
Wow. Britt Ciroli of The Athletic. Let me sneak one in on the Nats. You and Ben will probably be hosting again in studio soon. And when you do, you'll see some confetti and some balloons left on the floor from our Cesar Hernandez party.
Huge
today.
Celebration in here.
You wouldn't have believed the amount hammered. Of people that showed up. We were waiting because we were worried. We're like, they're not going to do anything huge this offseason. And lo and behold, were we wrong. Cesar Hernandez, it's really fun and really cool. What do you make of the fit of the 10th-year switch hitter, 31-year-old infielder?
It's fine. I mean, he's a Gold Glove winner. He's a defensive first player. You know, as you guys have said, it's not a parade lining the streets kind of move. But, you know, I was told, and I think I've said it here before on the show, the learners really wanted, like many ownership groups, you've seen a lot of teams not make moves because they want to know what's going to happen in the new CBA. So, you know, them not paying Wander Suero, them re-signing Andrew Stevenson, these are all tiny little nibbles, right? So there's just nothing really else going on. But I don't expect this to kind of define their offseason. Certainly we're going to see that frenzy we saw in November. We're going to see it again. The question is it going to be in February? Is it going to be in April? When is this free agency going to open back up? And what do these changes in the CBA specifically mean for a team like the Nationals that aren't tanking, but they're certainly rebuilding?
Real quick, just a couple of words here because we're way late, but I got to ask. Do you think we'll have opening day as planned on opening day?
I do.
Okay.
These two sides have way too much at stake after that 60-game season. I think as foolish as they can be, they all realize that they need each other and they need to start on time.
Britt, thank you as always. Be well.
All right, guys. Take care.
Talk soon. How about some hoops, please? We'll talk about those Wizards with our pal Ava Wallace of the Washington Post. She covers them. Ava, you're a young person, so you may not have seen it. Have you ever seen the movie Office Space?
I haven't. I know all the memes.
Yeah. I figured because you're young, you may not have seen movies. I understand that. Well, there's a particular scene where there's a guy that works for in the office that's totally useless, and he's meeting with the consultants. And after he's explaining what he does, and it's totally meandering and doesn't count at all, the consultant stops and says, "What is it you'd say you do here? I'd like to ask Davis Bertans, what is it you'd say you do here? One for his last 19 from three, but at least he doesn't play defense. What is going on?"
He's getting paid for one.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, he's definitely one of the guys when we ask players and Wes, for that matter, about him and you know, guys like Rui Hachimura, who we saw at Shootaround again today. He's still working back in. He hasn't been fully healthy in a long time is something I think he would say. But, yeah, it's worrying. You need somebody, especially in a game like a Spurs game where a couple of threes can come in and rattle a young team. They definitely need somebody like that, and that's why they paid him $85 million. So I think the team would say, you know, be patient. But it's definitely I understand why fans and people are kind of shaking their heads.
Can you give me the cliff notes on exactly what has happened and where we're at with Rui? It was a mental health thing, yes? Or was it that he played too much basketball and he was worn down? Like, what is going on?
Yeah, so the official thing that the team has said is that he just missed training camp and a good chunk of the preseason for personal reasons. He was away. It was an excused absence, so nothing, you know, he got fined for or anything like that. He rejoined the team in mid-October, only recently really started kind of participating in practice. And by last week, he ran through a full practice with the Wizards, no contact. He's in Shootaround now. The next thing kind of I'm looking to see is if he's going to show up on the bench. He hasn't been to a home game yet. He hasn't been on the road with this team yet. So they're being really, really incremental with working him back in, way more so in a completely different way than I just talked about with Bertans. But every time we ask Wes Unseld, you know, is there a timeline? Do you have a date in mind? He says he has no definitive timeline. They're measuring him based on conversations they're having with Rui himself and information they're getting from the medical staff.
Interesting. So I'm a huge proponent of mental health. I've dealt with anxiety for years and I take anxiety medication. I totally understand like how important and how big of a deal it is and people don't get it. So I don't know what I don't know in terms of what he's dealing with, but I think it's fair to ask. Like, he makes about $5 million. Is it nice that they're just saying, don't worry about, we'll keep paying you? Or is that, like, league policy? It just seems like a weird situation to me.
I mean, it's totally up to them. That's the thing, is if it's an excused absence and they're not signing him, it's way different from, like, you know, for example, and I'm not comparing the two, but just saying the Ben Simmons situation where the team, it's clear they're coming out and publicly saying or making it known that, you know, we're offering him resources and everything. Of course, the Wizards have all the same kind of league resources that everybody else does. They have their team psychologist who travels on the road even, but yeah, it's pretty much it's an excused absence and something that the Wizards are very clear that they're the ones, they're okay with taking their time with this one.
Ava, I don't think they're as good right now with Dinwiddie and Beal playing together, maybe as they should be, or maybe as they will be. Just kind of give me a State of the Union there.
State of the Union, it's not – I've also been looking out for that because I understand, and Beal has even come out and said, you know, when we ask him about – Dinwiddie making those really clutch shots in the fourth quarter, which he is known to do. I think the last time we asked him about it, Beal said, yeah, I need him to play like that all the time. So it's definitely something I'm watching, but I think Unseld's kind of saying it's not just those two necessarily, and he does like them together on defense, but it's something with the entire starting group that's they're not coming out with the right energy. They're kind of digging themselves in these first quarter holes yet again, which was something we didn't see in the first 2 weeks with this team, and lately has just been really off with we're not sure if it's approach, they're not sure if it's energy, stuff like that, but they're leaving the second unit a lot to do for sure.
Ava, thank you as always. Have a great rest of your week.
Thanks, guys.
Let's talk some puck, please. Jonah Jameson Reagan covers those Washington Capitals for NBC Sports Washington. Jonah Jameson, I leave a little festive gathering because I'm very popular. I was at last night, and it was 4-1, and I got home. It was 5-4. What the hell happened?
The third period happened. The third period, the Capitals had no punch. They had no fight. And, Peter Laviolette saw that coming, and he called a timeout very early in the third period because he could see that this was going off the rails. And following that timeout, the Capitals got a power play and let in a shorthanded breakaway goal, and it was downhill from there. They allowed 26 shots on goal in the third period alone. Sometimes you see that for an entire game from a team. So, you know, they left Samsonov out to dry. They had no fight. They just thought they were going to sit back and basically, you know, run out the clock and get that win, and it didn't work out that way. The Panthers came out swinging, and the Capitals are back on their heels. It's, you know, if you're looking for the positives, it's that it took a miracle for one of the best teams in hockey to beat a Capitals team where half their team is out injured. But that is 2 points that they had in the bag that they let get away from them in a game that they really shouldn't have.
Have they played a third period, any period like that, that you can remember? I was saying to Danny earlier today, getting outshot 27-22, I think is unprecedented for them. But just the lopsided nature, the fact that it came after they were great for 40 minutes, I'm not sure I've ever seen a game turn like that.
You know, you've seen games where there's swings in momentum. You've seen games where things go off the rails and one team takes control over another. I don't think I've seen a sustained 20 minutes where one team was from start to finish clearly that much better than the other. Whether that's a cause for concern, I don't know yet, but you're right. That was striking. You know, you see that for a few games, you see that for a few minutes, and you think, okay, let's weather the storm, or there's going to be a momentum shift here or there. There's going to be, you know, a fight or a big hit, or, you know, they'll just get a breakaway and the other way, and then things will change. I don't know if I've seen a full period, 20 minutes of complete domination the way that we saw in that game.
Jake Johansson Reagan, thank you as always, buddy. We'll talk soon.
Anytime, guys.
That is your Beltway Blitz on the teams in town you care the most about. Remember, at 5 o'clock, speaking of the Caps, you could win Caps tickets. Our guy, our producer, Ryan, is going to play a game with us. It's called Does Ryan Know It? We've got basic questions. We'll ask those questions. You'll then determine, before Ryan answers, if he knows the answer or not. If you guess correctly a couple times in a row, you'll win 2 tickets to go see the Caps.
And these are from categories he believes he knows. He gave me a list of things. Ryan said, I got these. I'm really good in these ones. And those are what I picked from.
It's going to be a lot of fun. We're 40 minutes away from playing that game at 5 o'clock on The Fan. Next, though, I want to talk about an up-and-coming author. An author who I think has a chance to join the list of some of the greats ever. Agatha Christie. And Harold Robbins and J.K. Rowling and Dr. Seuss.
William Shakespeare.
William Shakespeare's one. Stephen King.
Prolific.
Gary Paulson, you may remember.
Gary Paulson, yes. Did he write Hatchet?
John Grisham. He did write Hatchet.
Silly poll by me.
Robert Griffin III.
Ah, yes!
He'll be writing a book. We know about that book now. Let's discuss that next on Grant and Danny. One thing you learn not to do in radio early on, in your infancy, first couple shows, you can't eat a food that like dries your mouth.
Yep.
And you can't bite into said food right before you come back from break. I thought we had all kinds of time.
So that gamble, we've all lost, obviously, doing this thing. You do it long enough, it's going to happen. But you go, I got time. If there's a question whether you have enough time or not, you don't. I have lost that gamble so many times.
Because
even if you win, you get away with it. Doesn't mean the process was good.
I didn't think we were coming back, and so I just took a bite. And as soon as I sat down, started my first chew, my second chew, my third chew, I'm hearing the music, and I'm going, oh, man, this could be a bit of a struggle.
Got that chalky mouth situation.
So there are some great authors in the history of this planet. J.R.R. Tolkien. You know that one. What did he do?
Lord of the Rings and The Hobbit.
Okay. C.S. Lewis comes to mind.
There you go. What did he write?
Chronicles of Narnia.
Nailed it.
I'm looking it up. That's how I knew.
Mark Twain?
Mark Twain. A big Mark Twain guy, for sure. What about Clive Cussler?
I don't know Clive Cussler. What did that guy do?
I don't know. He's made $40 million in sales.
Seriously?
Yeah. Actually, $150 million in the United States.
Who is that guy?
I don't know. But guess who we're going to add to the list?
Robert Griffin.
Bobby Three Sticks. Robert Griffin is writing a book, boys and girls, and he broke the news on his own Twitter account yesterday.
What's up, guys? I'm so excited to announce that I wrote a book, and it's coming out in August 2022, titled Surviving Washington. Now, every experience that I've ever had has made me a better husband, a better father, and a better player. But I want you to take this journey with me as I walk you through one of the most dysfunctional franchises in all of sports. I'm going to tell you the truth about what happened in that playoff game in 2012 against Seattle. I'm going to detail the medical mismanagement that I received during my time in Washington. I'm going to open your eyes to the sexual harassment that permeated the walls of that building and give you a deep dive into a power struggle between one of the most powerful coaches in all of sports and an owner that many of you want gone. They say the truth will set you free. So here it is, unfiltered. Pre-order now.
So dramatic.
Whoa.
That was so dramatic. Well written, so maybe the book's going to be killer because that was well done. His little teaser video there. I have a million thoughts. I want to hear your first couple.
I don't even know where to start here. So every time I'm going, okay, he's going to write a book. It's obviously from his perspective. He's the author. If Mike Shanahan wrote a book, it'd be from his. If Dan Snyder wrote a book, it'd be from his, et cetera. So I understand all that going in. This is from, you know, his worldview, his truth, as the people like to say. And my first thought every time I kind of go, oh, well, he'll do this, but not this. And then I hear that promo where everybody's in. Like that cannon shoots this whole range of the screen and nobody's off screen. Dan. Sexual harassment type stuff. Wait, what? Are you a witness? Like, are you going to get subpoenaed here to testify? Like, what is that? What are you talking about, dude? There's that. There's the medical mismanagement part. And I'm going, okay, I'm a little bit squeamish about that, but that's kind of what I signed up for. This is just a lot. That's the thing I come back to is, man, is this a lot.
So I have a couple questions I'll start with.
Please do.
The first one is, do players write tell-all books about falling outs that they have with teams?
I don't know how common it is.
Is there any precedent to that? Can you think of another time where a guy had a public falling out with an organization and then wrote a tell-all book to air grievances about it? It seems like there's some unwritten rule that's being violated there. Not that I care about unwritten rules in sports or locker rooms or front offices or whatever.
But there's a betraying of some confidence there,
totally.
Yes?
I mean, it kind of feels like a Instagram direct message goes public or something. Like we've talked about where people will be embarrassed at best or in big trouble at worst when some public exchange or private exchange becomes public. There's going to be a lot of that, I would imagine, in this book. And if you're saying this is some expose, this is some tell-all. But I'm wondering, actually, and if anyone can answer this, at Grant H. Paulson on Twitter, or please call in, 800-636-1067. What precedent is there for somebody of the ilk of Robert Griffin III, a superstar-type athlete, former Heisman Trophy winner, number two overall pick, to write a book detailing a very public falling out, presumably to air dirty laundry? Do you remember anything like that?
I don't. Doesn't mean it never happened. I mean, I know athletes have written books before, and it's usually about, you know, here's what I overcame, or here's, you know, my story, if they're a particular person of interest, or it's motivational. I don't remember there being a, here's the dirt, here's all the bad stuff that happened, and nobody's safe.
That was my first question. Here's my second question. Why? Why do this? What comes out of it that's good for Robert Griffin? I think there's potential blowback or people just being annoyed or people kind of bristling or rolling their eyes that comes with it. So I wouldn't say that there's like no negative that could come out of this for him. And I'm not really sure what the positive or the upside would be to this other than making money.
Like some money that will be made here.
But in terms of his status, why do this?
There must be something, some smart person somewhere, whether they're right or not, I don't know, is saying, first step is this. The next thing is, and I don't see what the next thing is.
But he's got a great job, and he's good at it, by the way.
Yes, he is. I think he's good.
On television. He's doing color commentary. He's in the booth for games, and he's in the studio for shows, mm-hmm. and he's just getting started. I mean, if I was working with him, I'd coach him on a couple little things where he's a little too shticky for me at times and whatever, but like, he's got a great future. High energy and a good, strong delivery. And I think he's ultra talented and he can be funny. I mean, this is a real business opportunity moving forward for him to be one of the next huge analysts for football in this country. And just depending on how this book goes, taking a bunch of shots or potentially creating enemies, I just don't know where the upside is. I don't know. Like, your career is behind you. Either patch up any relationships or don't if you're mad at people. You don't have to. Let them ride. But going back to get back into the boxing ring with people that you're mad at from, I mean, now we're
10
talking
years ago.
About almost, it's well, actually, will be 9 years ago this year.
When it comes out August 22. So 10 years removed from 2012 when this all went down.
Why? Yeah. I really, and I'm legitimately asking. I just don't get that part of it. Now, I will say, I will read the book. I think I'm going to be more interested maybe than a lot of people because I was on the beat in 2012.
You were covering the team and the player,
so,
for God's sakes.
This, I mean, I was there, and this is like for me.
I mean, I envision you guys have it, all you guys. You get Ryan O'Halloran and John Kime, right. And all those dudes back over some burgers going, you guys on page 71 yet? That one checks out.
This is chocolate chip cookies for me.
Yeah.
I mean, we should all get on Zoom that we're on the beat that year.
Seriously.
And just read the thing together. And I texted Griffin, by the way. Hopefully we'll get him on to talk about it at some point in the next couple weeks. And I said, I was like, wow, dude. And he said, he can't come on this week to promote it or whatever. But I told him, I said, I think this will be fascinating for the people that were around. But I when he comes on, I'll say the same thing to him. I don't understand. Well, I guess what I would ask is, why'd you want to do this? What is the benefit? What good is going to come out of it? But I'm also just really intrigued by what it is.
It's red meat in my lion's den. Like, it's something that I don't want to care about, but I do. I wish I didn't. I do. I need to see it.
Play the clip again for a second, because I'm going to jot down a couple of things I wanted to react to specifically, too. So play that. This is from his Instagram, his Twitter, all of his socials, promoting the announcement of the book yesterday. And it's called Surviving Washington.
Yeah.
What'd you think of the title?
I didn't love that. That when we do surviving something, that's usually like a little bit more serious. Like, I think of
making millions.
Surviving R. Kelly. I think of that one. You know what I mean? Like, and I'm not trying to make light of stuff, but yeah, I that was probably a little much.
All right, here we go.
What's up, guys? I'm so excited to announce that I wrote a book, and it's coming out in August 2022, titled Surviving Washington. Now, every experience that I've ever had has made me a better husband, a better father, and a better player. But I want you to take this journey with me as I walk you through one of the most dysfunctional franchises in all of sports. I'm going to tell you the truth about what happened in that playoff game in 2012 against Seattle. I'm going to detail the medical mismanagement that I received during my time in Washington. I'm going to open your eyes to the sexual harassment that permeated the walls of that building and give you a deep dive into a power struggle between one of the most powerful coaches in all of sports and an owner that many of you want gone. They say the truth will set you free. So here it is, unfiltered. Pre-order now.
Pre-order now. Get your orders in. So the things I wrote down. Every experience has made me a better husband, dad, player.
It made me cringe.
That's a cliche. That's not a thing. That's not true. I do things all the time that are stupid that my wife gets mad at. There are days where I'm a better dad than others. Every experience doesn't make you a better anything.
Well, again, I don't want to be flippant about this sort of thing. And I generally try to stay out of people's personal stuff because it's their personal stuff. But when you're going to talk about it and write a book about it, it becomes public domain again. I need some accountability in there over that part of it. When you left your pregnant wife, dude, for a really hot college athlete. You know what I mean? Like, that's hard for me to get over. There should be a chapter about that. If you want to tell me you're a better dad because of that experience, that's fine because you went through a lot of stuff. You did that, all right? Like, I need some accountability in there. Because, again, normally he does do what you do. I don't really care that much. But he's writing a book about it, and he's going to try to sell me on how much better off he is and how great he is morally at this kind of stuff. Like, you did that, man.
I'm not great. I don't love the going into the personal stuff with family. I get what you're saying. I'm just not comfortable doing that.
I don't normally either.
I know.
But I ain't writing a book about
it. And I'm not bashing you. I'm just saying I don't know what I don't know about that relationship. I would say that it does seem like a weird thing.
No, it's not in great taste.
Right. He talked about Washington being dysfunctional. Obviously, it's going to be an anti-Washington football team organizationally book. Now, a lot of those people are gone. I think it'll be pro Dan Snyder. I mean, him and Dan Snyder were boys.
He mentions Dan, though, an owner you guys want gone. Maybe that's just to tease you.
He said, you want gone. I took that as an owner you guys want gone. Like, I think this is going to be a pro Dan Snyder book. Don't you? I mean, they were boys. They were best buddies. He paid for his honeymoon. Like, those guys were tight. It'll be an anti-Mike Shanahan, Kyle Shanahan, Kirk Cousins, like that whole regime, mm-hmm. all that little team of the LaFleurs and the McVays or whatever. But it will be very pro Dan Snyder, I have to imagine. And that's why I think he said, you know, an owner, you guys
maybe
gone.
Maybe as a way to say, but let me show you the real truth, exactly. Is that he's actually a great guy.
The power struggle between the coach and the owner, most of you guys want gone. But the one that I just don't get is, I'll open your eyes to sexual harassment that permeated those walls. And where you're talking about your discomfort with this whole thing because of his, you know, wife and new wife and all that stuff. For me, when in the same video you're saying pre-order now, in other words, you're selling your book and you're saying, I've got information you want on the sexual harassment, that, you know, culture that was going on there. I'm not telling him he's doing anything wrong. All I can say is that makes me uncomfortable. That you're literally profiting off of knowledge you have of a awful, toxic place. And I'm not going to sit here and pretend like when he was the quarterback of the team in 2012, he should have come out and had a press conference about how toxic. Everyone can act like they're a hero and say he should have done that. I don't think that's realistic. I just wouldn't throw that into the promotion of my book yesterday.
Yeah, if you've got some information that could help the women who were out in front of FedEx Field the other night, protesting,
desperate for help. Desperate
for assistance. Trying to get the report that's swept under the rug published. If you've got some info, that would be very welcome. Maybe a little bit less book publication stuff. But this is a tweet from his wife now, Robert Griffin's wife. I don't know what to say to this. Yeah, current wife. Let's clear up a misconception about Surviving Washington. In the book, Robert is not talking about other people's experiences with sexual harassment in Washington. He's talking about his own experience with sexual harassment in Washington. I have questions about that. What does that mean? What does that mean? The whole thing just feels like a Maury Povich episode, you know, or it feels like a, you know, Jerry Springer in the mid-90s type deal. It is a lot. It's a lot to take in.
Our guy J.P. Finley, who hosts Middays with Brian Mitchell, just texted me. He said, there are players who have written tell-all books before. You mentioned Keyshawn Johnson. That was like a biography. I think this is not that. I think
Scottie Pippen's under flack because he's or under fire because he's saying a bunch of bad stuff.
He's got white hair and a white beard. He's 60.
Yeah.
Like Jose Canseco, J.P. named. That's true. He did, definitely did that. He was 30 years removed from, or whatever it was, 20 years removed from the game. Like, I guess I only asked, has anyone done this? I guess I should say a guy who played last year.
And 3 months ago was like, hey, I could still do it.
Well, I promise you no one was ever writing a book while they said they want to play for that team. That probably hasn't happened before. 800-636-1067 is the number if you want to join us. Robert Griffin is writing a book. What are you expecting? Do you have any interest? Do you care? Why do you think he did it? Will you buy the book? Will you read the book if someone buys it for you and gives it to you? We're Grant and Danny. At the top of the hour at 5 o'clock, we're going to play a game. Caps tickets will be on the line. Does Ryan know it? But we got a couple of minutes for quick reactions from you guys to Robert Griffin posting a video saying he's got a tell-all coming out about his time in Washington. He survived Washington. Now, I don't know if there's a book coming out about his time with the Browns, Overcoming Cleveland. That would be a nice second story. And I don't know, what's the Baltimore title? If it's Surviving Washington.
Backing Up in Baltimore.
That's a good one. Overcoming Cleveland and then Backing Up Lamar could be the third one. Let's go to Norman in Maryland. Hey, Norman, you're on Grant and Danny.
Hey, how you doing? Yeah, y'all kind of covered most of the points I was going to say when you talked about a good husband and the sexual harassment thing. So, yeah, it's not a book I would be interested in reading. It kind of reminds me of like a shoot interview a wrestler would do when they get fired, where they tease you, hey, in a few months, see my shoot interview on this site, hey, this. So it's not very something I'd be interested in reading.
Yeah, I mean, again, the personal thing, I don't know what happened in his relationship. I'm not here to condemn him as a husband or a dad. He might be the best husband in the world right now and the best dad in the world. I have no idea. I'm interested in the football side of it, and I guess I don't know what the upside is, and I hope at some point we get to have him on to kind of talk about, hey, where'd the idea come from? Why did you want to do this? And what's the end game here? You got a good career you're carving out where it looks like you could be really good at something. This could in some way not be a detriment to, but make that a little bit more difficult.
It could be the thing you're known for instead of, as you're saying, kind of this ladder you're climbing.
Kevin's in Arlington. Hey, Kevin.
Hey, fellas. My goodness. I've been following sports in this town for over 50 years of my life, and never before have I come across an athlete in this city with a bigger ego and a bigger outsized sense of himself and his relevance. Listen, the things he has said about Kirk Cousins I think are awful, and if he wants to talk about medical mismanagement, if you have him on your show, please ask him when he was on The Turning Point, the NBC show, which you now can't even find that video of his communication with Trent Williams, that, hey, I'm hurt, but don't tell the coach. What is his own contribution to medical mismanagement? What did that do? Where is his responsibility for that? It's like this desperate attempt. Grant, is it why? It's a desperate attempt to recreate a narrative that no one's bought so far, to basically say, had it not been for this and that in Washington,
but
you know,
Kevin,
I'd probably still be playing him on the way to Hall of Fame.
But I think you're probably right that in his mind he thinks that. But I guess my question would be, why? Like,
we gotta know your why and why.
But right,
I don't think it's the money, because I don't know. I don't know that there'll be enough book sales for it to be even all that profitable.
Oh, I'll bet you the book sales are going to be bountiful.
I bet you does well.
Thank you for the call, brother. My point is, 2012 was a decade ago.
Mm-hmm.
You've played for two teams since. Like, you've moved on. You're in another career.
Yeah.
You've worked out for four or five teams probably since. Wasn't he working out for the Chargers at one point? I mean, it's just odd that he would, if Kevin's right, and this is just about, you know, let's fix the narrative. Why care? You got money, you got a family, you're retired, you got a good job, you're going to stadiums and people are asking you for pictures and autographs every Saturday. You're a king at a college
well,
campus.
It's just it's how you're wired. If you just can't let it go, right? If you're one of those dudes, and I can understand, I can empathize with this part, empathize with this to some degree. If you just think that what's out there about you is not right, if you just, and every day, and that eats at you, and you go, I'll fix it. Now, I would advise him. I don't think this fixes anything.
Yeah,
I think the people that already believe you are going to believe you. The people that are skeptical, this isn't going to sway anybody. And you better let sleeping dogs lie. But in his mindset, I think, you know, he's probably going, this will fix it.
They need to know.
They need to know.
Carlos, Savannah Park, you're on Grant and Danny.
Man, listen. I'm going to speak softly like Stephen A. Smith does and then just like rampantly start yelling as I talk.
Just use huge words.
Just huge words. Like, first of all, I'm pretty sure that Robert Griffin just is butthurt. Out of everything that happened in D.C., the owner loved him. The owner, well, that was the baby of Robert Griffin's power, okay? We all know what's going on. We all know what's been going on. He wants to reveal the truth. What truth is he trying to reveal? Personal reasons, you're right. I'll wait until it happens. But I'm not going to read it, and I'm pretty sure the people who are going to read it are the people that still want him in D.C. because they think that he's our savior still. Do you know when this book comes out? This book comes out August of 2022. When does the NFL season start? I swear, anything that the media wants to do, that he wants the media just to go after the Washington football team, just so we can get negative publicity. And because we're on a 3-game winning streak, oh, this is a good time to put him under the bus.
Thanks. Yeah, I tell you what, it was frustrating. The morning after Monday Night Football to wake up yesterday, and we didn't bring it up on the show for even a second for that reason, because I kind of wanted to just let people have their day. But first thing on a Tuesday morning.
Here we go.
Surviving Washington. Here's my tell-all. Vaughn in Alexandria, what's going on?
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey, dude.
It's kind of baffling that we can never catch a break in this area. It's always something. I feel so bad for this current team because it's always something. And this is what I got to say about Bobby Three Sticks. I can guarantee he makes it about race between him and Kirk Cousins. I can guarantee that's going to be a portion of the book. Two, I hope he includes his dad as part of the story. Three, I'm not sure how can you say it'll be pro Dan Snyder when you're talking about a toxic culture with the team. It goes hand in hand. The owner goes with the team. So if you're going to come out and tell all these bad things, doesn't that directly point to the owner?
You would
now
think
intuitively
so.
You would think so, right? You would.
But his reality or his truth,
yeah,
which is what he said he's going to tell. His version might be that, and maybe he will go after Dan. It would just surprise me. I just know their relationship was so great. Not to mention, people don't come at Dan very often. Because if you come at Dan, you best not miss. Like, that guy's got lawyers on lawyers on lawyers.
He can't wait to sue you. I mean, some of the players that where it didn't end terribly, right? I mean, Clinton Portis still speaks so highly of Dan Snyder because his experience with Dan Snyder, the Star Chaser, was great. They're buddies. Probably even still to this day. So Robert Griffin's experience with Dan Snyder, very different than the fan in Section 212.
Guylo says he's doing this for the same reason the 23-year-old comes back to high school and wants to talk about how he used to be the captain of the team. That's just a good bit. I mean, I'm stunned. I hope we can get him on. I have always had a decent relationship with him, and I've always liked him personally as a dude. When I've dealt with him, he's been a lot of fun, amicable, personable. I hope he'll come on and talk about it, but I will. I'll ask the same questions when he comes on. Why are you doing this? Like, well, what's the point of this? And what's the upside? I don't get it. All right, next. You want Caps tickets? We've got them.
Let's go.
Win them right here on Grant and Danny, but you got to play a game with us, and you got to win at the game. The game is called Does Ryan Know It? You're going to bet on or against Ryan with basic elementary trivia questions, essentially. That's next on Grant and Danny. You want Caps tickets. Now's your time on The Fan. And at 6 o'clock tonight, PFF's Ben Brown goes around the league with us.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.